welcome to another expectational episode of We Only Look Thin. I am Catherine Weigel. I am one of your hosts. I have lost over 120 pounds.
Wow.
And kept it off for over 6 years.
Whoa.
Tiny Habits Certified Coach, a Thrive Global Certified Coach. And with me today is the expectational
Donald Weigel. And I have lost about 100 pounds. I've kept it off for about 6 years. And I'm expecting this episode to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. And yeah. It is. I can't remember how many parts of this we said this was going to be. I think for episode one, we said it's one of, I don't know how many.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't commit to a number, but now we have landed on six. It's going to be six. This is five.
This is five, but I remember also saying yesterday that I might have a tag on like summer school episode of like things I forgot to say before.
Oh, really?
So there might be more.
It could be seven?
It might be. I'm saying summer school. Summer school's like, it's like a few weeks. It's like half days.
Well, and the joke here is that we've called these Habit Elementary, like after Abbott Elementary, yeah. The TV show.
But the thing is,
anyone, you know, didn't notice that.
But like, there are schools that go through, like I went to a, like fifth grade was the top, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then, but some schools.
So you didn't, you graduated at fifth grade and didn't keep going?
No. Oh my goodness. Oh, Gilligan.
Yeah.
No, but there are some elementary schools that go through sixth grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I feel like even five is high. I think my elementary was only like through third or something like that.
And then you went right to high school.
I went to like a different school that was like 4, 5, 6. And then we did 7, 8.
What?
Yeah.
How am I just finding this out?
Yeah.
What was that called?
That was junior high.
Wait, but no, what was 4, 5, 6?
I don't remember.
I am shocked. I am shooketh right now. That
you know, maybe it could also be because we moved.
You're making
know.
Up.
I got to ask my parents. I'm like inventing memories.
I am very, yeah. I'm overwhelmed right now. I thought it was like a Doogie Howser thing where you just, in third grade, you were remarkably bright.
Yeah.
Remarkably.
No, they gave me a college degree in third grade.
Yeah, yeah. And you went off.
Doogie Howser.
Oh my gosh. No, but there are schools that go up to sixth grade. And then I've heard about 7, 8, 9 schools that is junior high.
Yeah, I think I actually like that as a grown adult now. I think it makes a lot more sense to do 7, 8, 9 and then 10, 11, 12.
The difference between a ninth grader and
having
a
12th
grader
in the same school as 12th graders doesn't seem right.
I know. And for our friends in the UK, I know there's like sixth form, which I think is kind of, I don't know what that is. Never mind.
You're
blowing my mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I've been listening to a lot of, or watching a lot of British shows, and there are things. There's like,
yeah,
oh,
I know. We've been watching a
form.
Lot of UK shows and listening to books written by Brits, and then also like, Australian.
If anyone wants to tell me what the difference between college and university is in the UK, because a lot of times it says they're going off to college, but that's just like high school-ish.
Yeah, we would prefer that somebody like told us rather than us using the internet.
Just guessing.
Which is like right, yeah, right
here. We don't
have
time for that. We're too busy
all
making podcasts.
All right, enough shenanigans.
Oh,
this is part five of, I guess, possibly seven, at least six. We know we're doing six. This is the most parts we've ever done of anything in the history of the show, unless you count the fact that if you really think about it, like this is episode 325.
Whoa.
It's really like all of them are, it's like 325 part episode. Like when you really think about it, it's all like comes together and is magical and wonderful.
Should we do something special for episode 365?
Probably.
Because that's like a year. If it's not this year, it's a year.
We'll probably talk about 350 at some point.
Probably.
Also, yeah. Well, I mean, look, we can do whatever we want. We could do like, you know, something special for 328 if we want.
We sure could. No, but 365, that's how many days there are in a year. Except
yeah, I
for
get
this
that.
Year.
Thank you for womb-splaining that to me.
For time-splaining.
Time-splaining, yeah.
Now I'm time-splaining, womb-splaining.
Calendar-splaining.
I just want to make it very clear.
Calendar-splaining.
That yeah. Donald said I womb-splained. So we're going to see how that lands with our...
I know, I'm going to get so much hate mail on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry I derailed us. Donald, what were you going to say?
So I was going to say, this is part five. We have constructed a series that is essentially a roadmap of various points along your weight loss and fitness journey. And we you know, likened it to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Catherine has made some wonderful actual, like, I don't know, I was going to say parody charts, but charts about weight loss and fitness based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And just quickly, you can go back to earlier episodes if you want to hear us talk more about Maslow, but he was a psychologist who posited a theory of, you know, you really can't deal with your higher function psychological needs until your base needs are met, things like your food and your shelter. And now, so we are using that pyramid, that idea of at the top is self-actualization. We're now somewhere around the fifth level of the pyramid, of the triangle. We're walking up the triangle, and we're talking about level five.
Yeah. I feel like I appropriated it. Does that have a negative connotation?
It does, but okay. That's okay. Eh,
too bad. What is he going
to
do? Know.
I think he was a middle-aged white guy, so you're allowed to steal stuff from them.
Yay.
Yeah.
Everybody's middle-aged at some point.
Yeah, at some point. Exactly. We have framed these episodes in the... we've talked about different categories: mindset, the scale, food, and then movement. And we're going to do the same thing again. Now we are on level five. So in the previous episodes, we talked about, you know, your base needs and then climbing and climbing. And so at this point in your weight loss and fitness journey, you're tracking your calories, you have a daily or weekly calorie goal, you're setting weekly activity goals, you're working on your emotional issues with food, and you're becoming a detective of yourself. And if you want to learn more about that, please go back and listen to the other episodes. And now you are getting in range of a potential goal weight.
That is terrifying. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
It sounds wonderful and amazing.
So I'm
but going, also
yeah. So I'm going to talk about mindset. Yeah. And a lot of times we have expectations of what it means to be near a goal weight. But even more than that, we don't really articulate what we imagine a goal weight is going to look like, what our life is going to look like. I don't know why I said that. What our life is going to look like.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the dualities of mindset when you get close to your goal weight. So you already know that there's no finish line, but that can be kind of like, well, if there's no finish line, then where am I going? Like, where is the there that I want to be? But you're also seeing yourself as someone who can actually do this. Maybe you had a little bit of doubt before, but now it feels like a great rhythm that you're in and you're feeling more confident. But you're also kind of pre-worried about what's going to happen at maintenance, because maybe you haven't gotten there before. Maybe you have, but have not kept that weight off, and that can be scary. What makes me think I can do it this time?
Yeah, and that was me. Even on this time, I had a history of losing weight and feeling like I was in a good place, and then I would stop doing all the things that got me to that weight, and I would gain the weight back. And so when I started this time, I very much thought, well, I'm just going to do that again. So, you know, there was a part of me that was like, I guess, you know, this is just how it is. You get to a goal weight and then you gain all the weight back.
Right. So, but I don't really think that we think about like, okay, so what actually is maintenance? And in the next episode, we're going to go take a deeper dive into it. But what do you expect to happen? Do you expect like all your relationships to be better?
Right.
And suddenly you get a promotion at work and all of your debt is absolved and suddenly you're confident and like have better boundaries. Nothing magical happens when you get to a particular number.
Well, although I will say it's not magical, but virtually every health problem I had went away.
Yes.
When I got, like, I had some heart issues. I had type 2 diabetes issues. I had issues with snoring. I had issues with
almost with being murdered by me for overly, snoring.
Yeah, exactly. issues with being like overly tired all the time, and virtually all of that went away when I hit my goal weight. So
I know,
there,
but that's
there was
boring.
That. There was that. Yeah.
But for people who.
I just want to point out there are some wonderful benefits to hitting your goal weight, and it's not just a matter of, well, you get there and then you're like, well, everything's the same.
No, I appreciate that. That is all very true. But for people who are listening to this who maybe aren't at this part, so like the people who are close to the goal weight, yippee, but for the people who really are back at, you know, habit elementary one or two.
Yeah.
Just letting you know that you become the person you want to be by doing the things that person does.
Yeah.
If you want better boundaries, you must create better boundaries in your journey. It's not like some magical, you know, again, we did the there is no finish line. It's not like there's a ticker tape parade and then suddenly it's the end and, you know, everything's perfect. It's a continuum.
And I think, you know, if you are somebody, I just want to interject, if you are somebody who is at Habit Elementary 1 or 2 or 3 and you're not anywhere near this level 5 yet where you're zeroing in on a goal weight, I really think it would have been helpful for me to,
oh my gosh,
to have a lot of these things in mind,
yeah,
as I was climbing up that pyramid so that I didn't have to figure them out, you know, all, as I was going, which I did. Like, I basically, a lot of what I have figured out about this happened in hindsight. I was like, oh, yeah, like, dealing with my boundaries really was important. Dealing with my secret eating really was important. You know, dealing with, you know, figuring out how to be in maintenance and not in that constant weight loss mode really was important. And thinking about that as I was going along would have been really helpful rather than kind of doing it, you know, as it came up.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've got our, you know, hopefully, how many, a combined 100 years, 100 of, experience years of experience in this room.
That's right.
That's really annoying. But yeah, here we are. But so all of these questions are coming up for you, both the exciting potential and then also the sort of the nervousness of it. So the big thing for us is cultivating an identity of a healthy person. James Clear talks about this. BJ Fogg talks about it, of really inhabiting all of the habits and behaviors and the mindset of someone who cares about their body, cares about not just the vanity, but also like your longevity, how you move your body, how you move around the world. So we really want to focus on our identity at this phase. So, and on our final point on mindset, we're focusing on the function. Like, these are habits that we have in place. Maybe they're not super exciting. They're not worthy of a montage, but they are sustainable habits that will push us through. And we get the results of the things that we want by doing the things that get the results. It's not like, and we've said this before, it's not like we just finish losing weight and then suddenly it's like, okay, now I can go back to the old me. There is no old me at this point. I know too much about what makes me feel good, how important moving my body is, how many non-scale victories that I have at this point, that I am just going to keep doing this throughout my life because I know that it is worth the effort.
And, you know, we are going to move on to the scale part of this. And part of this for me was really trying to figure out where I wanted to be on the scale. And, you know, this is the part of the weight loss journey where you're getting closer to a weight, to, yeah, a size, to a BMI that you might want to be. But you have to kind of, you know, decide, well, who says this is my goal? Like, when do I stop? Like, where do I actually want to be? And also, maybe you're slowing down. And this is one of the sort of frustrating, it's not exactly a paradox, but the more weight you lose, kind of the harder it is to lose weight as you go.
Well, I think it also is you become accustomed to certain things. You might plateau a little bit. But when sort of using a car analogy, a, you know, a monster truck needs more gasoline than,
right,
a like a super tiny two-seater. And when we become smaller, maybe we have fewer calories because we're, you know, where our engines aren't as big.
Yeah. And so you're getting to a point where you're wondering where to stop, and you might not know what maintenance looks like at this point. And, you know, really, I didn't know, and it can look like a lot of things, but some things you can do are just pick a weight, like, and decide, well, that's my goal weight. That's where I want to be. And it may turn out, as it was in my case, not to be realistic. And, you know, you may decide, well, okay, that's an unrealistic goal. Maybe I should aim for something 5 pounds more, 5 pounds, I mean, 5 pounds less, 5 pounds, I guess, 5 pounds heavier, 10 pounds heavier. Or you can set a goal based on a date. You can just decide, well, whatever my weight is by this date, that's going to be my goal weight.
Well, and that's what I did, because sort of when you are, when we were talking about this episode, I said circling the drain on your goal weight. And I was like, I think that means dying.
Yeah, that's like usually really bad when you're circling the drain. You're about to go down the drain.
Yeah, but like initially Donald had a higher goal weight. He's like, okay, this is what I want to get to. But when he got there, he realized, like, oh, I think I can go down from here.
Yeah, I think I've told this story before, but when I initially set a goal weight in my app, I got my Fitbit app, and it asked what my goal weight was. At a certain point, I was, you know, I was like 70 pounds heavier than the weight I put into the app. And I thought, that's ridiculous. I will never get down there, but I'm just going to put it in because, haha, wouldn't it be funny to put in a weight that low? And then I got there and I realized, oh, you know what? I can go down more. So I you know, took off another 25, 30-ish pounds.
Right. And for me, I set a date because I was losing weight. It was going pretty well, but it was sort of like, well, how do I know when I'm getting to the number that I want to be? So I just sort of said, because I honestly wasn't sure, I was like, I will pick June 1st. Whatever I weigh on June 1st, I'll kind of have that as my for now goal weight and then see how I do.
And, you know, you can set your weight on a BMI range, although I don't love those. You can set it on a clothing size, you know, which, you know, maybe is a little bit more of a vanity thing, but that is something that you could do. You could even set it on, you know, particular health metrics. And,
yeah.
And, you know, look, my experience was that almost all of my health problems were solved by losing weight. I know that's not true of other people, but perhaps you get to a point where, you know, your health metrics hit a certain point and you're happy with that, and you decide that's, you know, what my goal weight's going to be.
Well, and I think as part of it too, we get confused because a lot of it is prescriptive. Like, well, people on the internet say that this is a good thing, or my doctor says I should be this. It's different for people who, especially at our age, who a vanity weight of like, I want to weigh what I weighed in high school,
right,
or something, is like so not realistic. Or for those of us who, you know, I've struggled with my weight my whole life, I've got extra like skin and stuff that like isn't part of the equation.
Yeah,
of,
me too.
Like the perfect BMI of an 18-year-old. People who have had children, and like your body composition changes over time. Perimenopause happens. So having some sort of fantasy vanity weight might not be practical, but just kind of set something. I know maybe I'm going off on a tangent on this, but being realistic, for me, my doctor gave me a particular weight. I actually went a little bit under that. But here's the second part of sort of the, you know, you can do the, like I said, the clothes size, the BMI, the date, or a particular weight, is that something to really think about, which I didn't know at the time, is that a goal weight is not a forever weight. It is not a fixed mortgage, like 30-year fixed rate thing.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, no, set it and forget it. I'm here and everything is solved.
Yeah, you don't get to, you know, a particular, like, I'm not going to say a number, but you don't get to an exact number and then that just is the weight you are forever. Like, that doesn't happen.
Right. Now, something that I didn't realize when I hit my goal weight. So listen up, everybody. Turn up the volume on this. Your goal weight that you decide on is based on your current season, your current age, your current emotional bandwidth, the effort you're able to put in. And when any of that combination changes, your weight can change.
Yeah, for sure.
When you change your effort, your weight can change. Age, like for me, I started this when I was 42, 41, something like that.
Yeah.
I am almost 50 now.
And yeah, and I was about 46 or so, and I'm 54 now. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah.
But like pandemics happen and like jobs change and priorities change.
Well, and I've definitely found it more difficult to, you know, when I put some weight on, I found it much harder to take it off now than I did, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah. So when you're looking at a goal weight, just remember that it is based on the current season. That can be like the months, literally like the months, the season, or it can just be the circumstances that you find yourself in. And a goal weight is a comma. It is not a period. So again, when people say like, I don't know what my goal weight is, what should I decide? Don't think of it as when I say that this is my goal weight, it is my forever weight. You can pick a weight and then say like, you know what? I'm going to see if this feels right for me for a month or two. And then reassess it. I'm going to, based on right now, this is my goal weight. But when summer hits, maybe I'll want to lose a little bit more weight. Maybe in a year from now, I'm seeing that this isn't sustainable. And maybe being a little bit heavier is what I want to be. I have so, like, over the years, so many people have said, like, well, I'm afraid, like, what is my body going to look like if this is my goal number? And like, what if this and that? I'm like, guess what? You can always gain weight. We're all good at that. Like, just listen to our episodes backward. Like, some sort of, like, you know, and then, like, hear the secret message of just do the opposite. And
that's,
you can
right.
gain weight really quickly.
That's right. There are secret messages in the podcast if you listen backwards. I'm also thinking about, like, we've, you know, I agree with you that a goal weight is not a period. It, you know, in addition to a comma, it could also be a semicolon. It could be an ellipsis.
Oh, like, is the ellipsis the three dots?
It's the three dots. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, but we know it's not a period.
Yeah. So it's a goal weight for now, and it is always adjustable.
What other kinds of punctuation do you think a goal weight is? Let us know.
So fun. Yeah. Such fun. But really, also beyond that, your goal weight is sort of a range, not a particular number. Now, depending on where, like your body composition, how tall you are, whatever, that range might change. But for me, you know, initially I thought it was, okay, this is my weight and then I'm going to just be it forever. But guess what? You go on vacation, as you do, and maybe you gain 5 pounds. Maybe in the summer, you're much more active and your weight goes down 5 pounds because you're eating like lots of fresh vegetables and you're outside and you're really energized. Maybe in winter, you find that you're kind of up on the scale because it's darker and you're, you know, eating more cozy food. So thinking of it as a range based on your season is really helpful to not feel defeated that, like, oh no, I said that this was my weight and now I'm above that.
Yeah. And if you're like me and you've ignored your own advice, the last two holiday seasons, you've put on more weight than you would like and then spent basically the first half of the following year trying to take it back off again.
Basically
what I'm in the middle of doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, give yourself permission to try out a goal weight, or even think of a maintenance break, which we haven't talked about too much, is like, let's say you're at a weight that feels pretty good, but you know you're traveling all summer, you've got some things going on. You can always just say, like, for now, this is my goal weight. And then next season, once school starts back up again, maybe I'll try to lose again. But for now, I'm going to focus on this particular weight. Now, when you're at this point too, and just so you know, like, continue to weigh yourself on your schedule, whether you're taking a break from losing, whether you're approaching your goal weight, continue to weigh yourself and continue to take your measurements throughout this process and capture as much data as you can, whether it's on your blood test results, like how many nights in a row your spouse hasn't murdered you for snoring, like...
I have marks on my calendar. One more day wasn't murdered for snoring.
Well, yay! it's like at a factory, like, we're like 30 days without right. an incident.
Right. Like, yeah. 25 plus years of marriage without being murdered for snoring.
I'm not sure how.
It's a good run.
I'm not sure if Donald really understands the plotting I did.
Oh my God, I'm terrified now.
But really, look.
You said maintenance was terrifying, but now I'm more terrified.
Well, and one last thing that wasn't on our list to talk about, really take stock of all of the non-scale victories.
Oh yeah.
The both spatial non-scale victories, like the, you know, being able to fit on an airplane seat comfortably, being able to be on an amusement park ride, all of the data and the metrics of your health goals. Like, count it all up and keep a list, because that list is going to keep you in maintenance, because the number is a single data point in a whole spectrum of, of all of the ways your life is different at a lower weight. And keeping sight of that right now is critical in keeping the weight off in the long term.
Yeah, and I know it is sometimes difficult to imagine, but I would almost say that the non-scale victories, especially as I've been getting older, I mean, I know everyone's getting older, but as I'm getting older, I feel like the non-scale victories are the most important ones. And it's hard to, you know, when you're trying to hit a goal weight, it's hard to wrap your head around that. But eventually, I came to the conclusion that it's much more important that I keep moving and that I keep my ability to, you know, walk upstairs without, you know, being completely out of breath and being able to carry my groceries and, you know, do all of those practical day-to-day things are more important than the actual number on the scale.
Well, and we're going to talk about this in the fitness or the movement part, but losing all the weight doesn't yield a dream body. Like, you don't suddenly become a chiseled, figure in a museum by losing weight. So we'll talk more about that in the movement part.
So that was a little teaser for movement. Let's move on to the food. So you've got your tracking down. You know what filling foods are. You also may also be getting bored. And so I know that that may sound strange to some of you who are at different levels of this, but, you know, it can get boring to do the same things over and over again and to eat the same foods over and over again. And so one thing that we suggest is it might be time to level up and start tracking macros or focus on protein a little more. Or maybe you try to shake things up by doing some low-cal, high-cal days, which is also called a zigzag. So you think of your calories as a weekly target and not a daily target, and you might save more calories for evenings out or the weekends.
Which is totally even what I do now, 6 years into maintenance, is, you know, the deficits and then some higher-calorie days.
Or you might even do something, you know, just to make things interesting by changing up your tracker. You know, maybe you've been using Fitbit for a long time and you decide to, you know, give Lose It a try and see how that's going. And so just trying to keep things interesting so that you don't end up, becoming so bored that you just, you know, and it may sound weird, but you just start eating,
yeah,
or you start going off of your plan just to shake things up and keep your life more interesting.
Well, and I think that that is a really big issue of people saying that things are boring. Guess what? If you think losing weight is boring, maintenance is going to really be boring. I'm just letting you know
you're really selling people on getting maintenance.
If all of your thrills in life come from, you know, tracking calories is boring. Guess what, buddy? If that's the only place you're finding excitement, you have the opportunity to find excitement elsewhere, because putting gasoline in my car is not exciting and budgeting, my bank account is not exciting. But guess what? It keeps everything moving along well. So we'll talk about that more in the maintenance part.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, continuing on the food side of things, I've really gotten in at this point to strategizing and looking at the long view of the season ahead of me. In Wolt Place, We Only Look Thin Place, we have a 90-day overview. And it's not a habit tracker. It's more of a way to look at the calendar 90 days at a time to kind of say, like, what is coming up for me? We've got spring break coming up. We're going on vacation. We've got people visiting. Getting into strategizing, like, oh, well, you know what? This is going to be a maintenance week for me. And then this week we've got nothing going on. So it's really easy for me to get in a deficit.
Yeah.
Literally, this coming week, I've got nothing going on. But then on Saturday, my parents are coming to visit. And then the week after that, we've got other family coming. So I'm strategizing my calorie goals at this point. And it's empowering because I'm like, if I just imagine, and we've said this before, of like, well, I'll just lose a pound a week every week by blah, blah, blah. And we don't factor in the family time, or we don't factor in, you know, holidays or vacations, we can be disappointed. So knowing what we can expect of ourselves when our schedules change is really important.
Yeah. And it's really some next level stuff to try and plan, you know, something like 90 days ahead, or at least like a month or so ahead, and not just it's not just the obvious things like Thanksgiving in November, or you know, some big food-based holiday, or your birthday, something like that. But thinking about all of these things that might come up, it could be a work gathering, it could be, you know, like we said, family coming to visit. But really, sort of planning ahead for that is a nice way to level up and really be able to stay on track.
Right, because we have the opportunity to make our lives work for us. And instead of thinking of it as this like rigid, I've got to hit this goal every single day, maybe you're looking at it as like, oh, guess what? On my weekly book club day, that's a maintenance day. And on weekends, I'm going to, you know, eat at maintenance too, but I'm going to do deficit part of the time. And really being agile and being able to pivot is where you can empower yourself to really manage your goals. Another thing to do, and this is something that I think Donald has been really great at, is like look at your grocery store and your food just in terms of switching things up. Look at it with fresh eyes. Go to a different like grocery store in the same brand and see how they have things laid out. Look at different shelves, like up, down, around, because we can get in a rut of just seeing the same things all the time. Being able to go to a different grocery store and find new products or new, like, we're kind of about condiments. Like, our lives are basically like calories, condiments. I don't know what the next C is, condensation.
Yeah, exactly. All of those C things. But I think that you know, we talk a lot about pumping up the volume. Catherine didn't know I was going to do that. Yeah. But, you know, looking around the grocery store, I think that I have a tendency, I think that we as humans, I think, have a tendency, you go and you grab the same products that you're used to. But I like to really periodically, as Catherine just said, walk around and visit sections of the grocery store that I don't normally go to, or that, you know, aren't really part of my normal, you know, routine, and look for things that look interesting and low calorie and are potentially delicious and fit into my plan. And you know, sort of audition new things once in a while, so that I'm constantly injecting new and interesting foods into my life.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's a really great part too. I'm going to plug Wolt Place. Who cares? I don't care what I'm saying. We only live in place. We have a subgroup called Wolt Plates. I found it very funny. I golf clap myself like plates instead of place. Get it, everybody. But we do food posting challenges, and it's really fun to see what other people are eating. And like, oh gosh, I never thought about combining those two things, or, oh, I'm going to add that to my list. Being able to get ideas from other people about ways that they prepare food, the different snacks that they have, really keeps it interesting for me and inspiring to see what other people are eating. So keeping that fresh and not getting bored is really important in staying on track. And then also, this is something that I love about tracking, is that I can go back and look at my tracker. I also take very many food photos, just letting y'all know. I think 50% of the photos that I take are just food. And being able to go back and look at what I was eating in the first year of like, oh, wow, I was eating a lot of protein. I was really focusing on deli meat and vegetables and, like, you know, charcuterie boards and stuff like that. Keeps it interesting when I get in a rut and I kind of forget when I'm feeling bored.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I can go back and look at all of the things that I made, the great salads that I ate, like the you know, parfaits with fruit that I enjoyed. So exciting for me.
Now she's just naming food.
Now
she's,
I'm just naming food. So, but revisit that. Revisit, I think we did this as a tip of the week in the past too. Go back to your tracker and look at a week or a time where you were eating at a really good deficit and the weight was coming off, and look at what you actually ate then and repeat that. Just repeat the week and go like, oh, this is when I had yogurt for breakfast and then I had eggs for lunch and then I had whatever turkey break for dinner. Go back and look at that week, repeat it, and guess what? The weight might just melt away.
Well, and another part of that is that I oftentimes will get really excited about a particular food. Like maybe I'll just be super excited. I can't get enough strawberries for a while and I just eat strawberries like every day. And then I get tired of strawberries and I stop eating them. And it's really nice to remind myself months later that, oh yeah, strawberries are a thing. And go back to them, because then suddenly they're like fresh and new again, and you can sort of remember how delicious they are. We've talked about the hedonic treadmill, which is a phenomenon like where you buy a new picture for your living room and you hang it up and you love it. And then like a few years later, like it just is sort of like a thing that's hanging there and you barely notice it anymore. It's the same picture. But you know, we as humans, you get used to it, and you need to put a new picture up to then have that same feeling of like, oh, wow, this is like the most wonderful picture in the world, and it really brings the room together and that whole thing. It's the same thing with your foods. Like, you want to keep changing them up so that they still remain interesting and new to you.
Novelty.
Okay, so movement.
Movement.
And Catherine.
I don't know why I'm just repeating what you said.
No, I like it. Call and repeat. I like it. So Catherine mentioned this earlier, but one of the things that, and this is maybe more of a mindset thing, but one of the things that was really, I don't know what the right word here is. It can be disappointing to people is that just because you hit a goal weight doesn't mean that you're going to have the body that you've always wanted,
right?
Especially if you're like me and you were like so far overweight. You know, I have, maybe it's not appetizing to talk about, but I have a lot of extra skin. I've got stretch marks, like
appetizing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if people want to hear about this, but
you know, cannibals can get what they get.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Our daughter the other day said, and I'm sorry to talk about cannibals right now, but she was like, we were driving and she goes, so you know how like cannibalism is bad for you? It's like, why, yes, I do, actually.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to have to find out what the rest of that conversation was
okay,
all about.
Okay, so, sorry. Okay, so your appetizing body.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When you say it like that, it sounds terrible.
I made it weird.
Okay. I know this is the movement section, but that one of the things that I had to come to realize as I was approaching a goal weight was that I wasn't going to get my ideal body, my sort of underwear model body, unless I put in the same sort of physical effort that those people do, the amount of like, you know, crunches that they do, the weights that they lift. And this is a point where you might say to yourself that you want to put in that kind of work to get that done. Or you might say, you know what? I have helped my health goals. I'm wearing the clothes that I want to wear. I'm not willing to put in that much work, and I'm just going to be happy with the body that I have, which is largely what I did. However, this was sort of the point in my journey where I did start adding more strength training, and I tried to work more on body composition, because just losing weight is not necessarily going to get you in the sort of shape that you want to be in, if I'm making myself clear. So this is where maybe you start thinking more about physical challenges, personal records, muscle building, cardio building, endurance, things like that. Like maybe all you're doing is walking which is wonderful, which is mostly what I do. But maybe now you're going to do a couch to 5K, or maybe you're going to try a class. You know, maybe you've never done like a spin class before, or a yoga class, or an aerobics class, or something like that. Maybe you're going to do that. Maybe you're going to switch up the intensity. You increase your weights, you like try to improve your times. Or maybe you have a practical goal, like you've never been able to do a chin-up before, and so you're going to try and build the muscles that allow you to do that. Maybe you've never been able to run for 15 straight minutes, so you'll do that. Maybe you want to like learn how to do a split, or as a lot of people say, do the splits.
The splits.
Which I've never quite
understood. Yeah, I'm better at doing the mashed potato.
Both the dance and the food. Or like, you know, maybe you join a running club or a bicycling club or something like that. You know, maybe this is the time where you're really focusing on leveling up your actual fitness, not just, the weight loss part of this.
Well, and this especially just ties into building that identity as someone who is fit and active. Again, like, I felt like, and I, this was a conscious choice, I felt like I did not have the bandwidth or the interest in strength training while I was losing 100 pounds. I was just like, I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to eat at a deficit. I didn't feel like I could make that leap. And it wasn't until after I lost the weight that I really started investing in strength training, yoga, and other activities. And knowing that the, you know, at the beginning, maybe you're losing a lot of weight and people are noticing like, oh my gosh, you look great, whatever. Like that is going to stop at some point. And being able to focus on changing your focus from a weight to body composition, endurance, and like other physical qualities like that enhance your life really does help. And look, I don't know if you know this or not, but Donald and I, in terms of leveling up, decided that we wanted to have a podcast to talk about weight loss.
Like, that's true.
That is what we did in all of this.
Yeah, part of starting this podcast was to keep ourselves interested in weight loss and fitness and keep us honest. Like if we had to go on record as talking about these things, then we were going to have to do the things that we were talking about.
Right. And also just going back to what Donald was saying about having certain goals, like sure we had high step counts, but Donald and I joined him on this because I didn't want him to, I don't know, be stolen on the freeway. Like, we actually did a 40-mile walk or something.
Yeah, I decided I wanted to do 100,000 step day because that was the top award that you could get on Fitbit, was doing 100,000 steps in a day. So it ended up being kind of a bad idea in the end, but we did accomplish it and ended up, it was about 40 miles and took an entire day. And
we started at like 3 a.m.
I was wrecked. I was absolutely like, I was not quite in the shape I should have been to do
a 40 mile walk. But you weren't even at your goal weight then.
No, I wasn't at the goal weight yet.
We've also done things like, you know, 50 flight days or like 100 flights of stair days.
And yeah,
like,
well, I attempted to do 700 floors in a day because that's the highest Fitbit level, but I bailed out at 400 or 500. I can't remember.
But yeah, like if you're driven by ribbons and awards and badges and stuff like that, like it is a great way to stay invested in fitness. But like I said, we decided to go the route of having a podcast, but other people have done things like we've got a member of Volt who is a Zumba instructor. She decided she loved dancing so much that she decided to do that. We have others who have become yoga instructors and other fitness instructors. So when you are doing the work, joining that and making it a part of your actual life or job can also be a thing to do. Volunteering in active things like volunteering at races. If you're not up to running a half marathon yet, maybe you start volunteering for coaching or something like that. Like,
you know, but start being around it. Start hanging out with people who are doing that physical activity that you aspire to do. And it, you know, then the sort of the momentum takes over.
Well, and part of that too is deciding on like vacation adventures that you want to take. Deciding on, like we used to be, and look, I still am, if I'm honest about it. Like, interested in like food based journeys and locations and stuff, but being like, oh great, we're going to a place that has a really amazing like hiking trail, or I want to climb to the top of, you know, Diamond Head and watch the sunrise, or hey, I'm going on vacation and guess what, there's going to be a 5K race the week that we're there, I want to do that. Having activity as part of your like vacation lifestyle or travel lifestyle is really a fun way to like change up your life, because sitting on a couch for a week can be tiring, like on a vacation. Having activity as part of your vacation for us, I think, has been really, really helpful.
Well, and I think too, you know, ask yourself what makes the better story, that you went ziplining or that you sat by the pool, you know, or that you walked up, you know, that wonderful nature trail, or that you sat by the pool. And maybe look, if the better story for you is sitting by the pool, fine, but you know, actually saying yes to some of these adventures and being in the physical condition to do them is part of why I'm interested in doing this, is so that I can, you know, kind of live the bigger life, so to speak.
Well, and it's not about doing it well. It's about just doing it. And even if you start something and go like, hey, you know what? I signed up for a half marathon and I only did, you know, 5 miles. Who cares? You joined, you tried, and you have something to strive for next time. So really opening yourself up to the discomfort of not being perfect at something, I think has been really helpful for me. And I'm very not great at everything. So it has been helpful for me. So at this point, like it is exciting and it's also you might be nervous about getting closer. I didn't say circling the drain. I just want you to know that. Getting closer to your goal weight, your mindset, you're a little nervous, but you're also excited. You're focusing on the scale and maybe deciding on a number or a date that you want to hit. You're looking at food in a different way. You're tracking, you're leveling up a little bit, and you're really seeing movement as something that enhances your life. It is not a punishment. It is a way to keep yourself excited and motivated in the world of weight loss. And you're gaining confidence in knowing that you've persevered through, you know, exciting times and tough times, and you've made your plan work. This is also the point in terms of setting goals for yourself, thinking about what other things can enhance your life. We're going to talk about maintenance in the next episode.
Yep.
But like, this has been such a big part of our lives that, you know, for decades we wanted to hit a goal weight, but we have the opportunity as people with rich and full lives to come up with other aspirations for ourselves. What else do we want our lives to look like? What other like hobbies and interests and exploring do we have to do in the world? Because weight loss is still like far into our maintenance journeys, is still part of our lives. But having other goals, other aspirations that you want in your life can really help build your life to make it bigger.
And one of the great things about hitting a goal weight and keeping it for a while is that you realize you can do other things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at least for me, I've been willing to take on other challenges in my life as well.
Well, and part of that, like once we get into maintenance, and the like accolades stop. It's not like every single day. You know, like Donald started a new position recently and they don't know about his, you know, 100-pound weight loss journey. I don't think they do they?
No.
No. So they just know him as Thin Guy Donald. Like,
yes.
Hey, Thin Guy Donald. I don't think people talk like that.
Yeah, but I haven't picked up the nickname Thin Guy Donald at work, no.
But like you just become a fit and active person. And part of that is like coming up with new things for yourself. this is a great opportunity to think about what other things do I want to learn about? What other skills do I want? Do I want to learn a new language? Do I want to go back to school? What other classes can I take just for fun without getting a degree? We don't have to be professionals at everything. But really, expanding our lives comes with taking risks and taking on new experiences and auditioning things that you could add to your life. And the bigger our lives are, the more like not complicated, but the more options we have in front of us, the more, like, I think the happier we are. If we're not just, you know, single,
yeah, for sure,
like have a single focus, the more diverse that we can be, the happier we are in life. And we're going to focus on like what maintenance looks like in the next episode.
Yeah. What does life after hitting a goal weight look like?
Yeah. But wherever you are in your journey, if you're the person who has 100 pounds that they want to lose, if you're 50 pounds or even 10 pounds from your goal weight, please know that the reason this podcast is called We Only Look Thin is because we spent decades loving food. And like, guess what? We still do. We look thin, but we still stay present in our choices. We still track. We still have self-doubt. We still have successes and ups and downs. So no matter where you are in this journey, whether it feels far away or close at hand, we are here with you along the way. Like, we honestly are so proud of you. Wherever you are in your journey, we are there with you. And we know that we did it despite the odds, and we know that you can do it too.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for listening. Part of doing it is listening to this podcast, and we are really grateful that you have spent some of your time with us today. You can listen to the most recent 300 episodes of our podcast on all of the major podcast platforms, wherever you found this episode. Or if you want to listen to the early episodes of the show, you can find those. They are at no charge to you on our website anytime, 24 hours a day at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep. And if you are at weonlylookthin.com, you can click on that link for join our support group and find out more about Wolt Place, We Only Look Thin Place. I've talked about it a couple times here on this very episode.
Yep.
But Wolt Place is a Facebook-based accountability group for women. We are not a weight loss plan. We are, however, a place for accountability, support, fellowship, and just understanding at whatever part of your journey, whatever age you are, we are here to support one another. We have weekly Zoom meetings. We have subgroups for special interest. And it's honestly just such a kind place on the internet. Donald was joking earlier about like negative posting on the internet and stuff. And like, everybody in Molt is just so nice and supportive. There's no, it's not a trash talk, like,
yeah,
you know, one-upsmanship. It's so supportive. I'm so proud of everyone in the group. And so if you are the kind of person who wants accountability and support, and really just a safe space wherever you are to share, this is the place for you. We have two subscription options, a monthly subscription with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you. Part of this whole weight loss journey is being supported into maintenance. And it's not like I used to think in Weight Watcher meetings, people who hit maintenance, I was like, run free, run away. The gate is open. You are no longer like,
you hit your goal weight. Just do what you want now.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I, you know, like open the door and run away. But staying present is so much a part of the reason that I am able to like stay focused on my weight loss and my journey venture. So please give us a try. I really appreciate everyone who has already joined, but join today. Figure out if it's right for you. We would love to see you.
Yes, please check it out. We used to have a sort of trash talking, like be mean to each other weight loss group, but it didn't go very well. So we decided on this, the much more supportive get together and cheer each other on.
Begrudgingly, we see that mean trash talk isn't good.
You can also interact with us on social media. We are on Instagram and Facebook at We Only Look Thin, or you can send us an email. We like episode suggestions. We've turned a lot of listener emails into episodes of the show. Or if you have a question for us, we will do our best to answer, or we might turn that question into an episode of the show. We have done that as well. Or you could just say hello, give us a shout out, tell us how you found the show, what you like about it, that kind of thing. We like to hear from you to weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we definitely have a few emails that we haven't responded to yet. Please know that we have not forgotten about you. We really appreciate you reaching out. Sometimes the emails are long and intense and really bring up a lot of good questions. So sometimes it takes us a while to come up with a response. But again, we really do appreciate it. And if you have some extra time and can head over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and a review, that would mean the world to us. It is an amazing free way to support the show, and it helps boost our ratings. It has something to do with computers. And but honestly, every single review we read, and we so appreciate it. Someone just posted today, I think that they're on episode 36 of the podcast. Ah. Boy, howdy. They've got a ways to go on this.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. But like, knowing that people are still finding us after all of these years is super validating. It helps us know that we are making a difference in lives. And so again, we really appreciate it. Take a couple minutes, head over there.
Yes, please. And another thing you could do that would really help us out is to just tell somebody about the show. Give us a recommendation if you're face-to-face with somebody, or I guess on the phone or over Zoom.
Or cloaked on the dark web.
Some other way you're talking to somebody, if you could just give us a shout-out. Or on the dark web, if you're on a Reddit server, a Facebook group, a Discord server, something like that. I guess it's not a Reddit server. If it seems appropriate and you give us a shout out, that really is one of the best ways in which the show grows. When people, hear recommendations from others, it really does drive them to listen to the show, and we would be grateful.
We sure would.
So if you are now thinking about all of the wonderful adventures you can have in the condiment aisle of your grocery store, while you're there, just remember that Catherine and I are an inspiration. Night pickles.
Ooh, call back.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.